Why don't you turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. Proverbs, very unique book, as I told you last Sunday evening, and I think sometimes we confuse Proverbs with promises and prophecies, and certainly I'm sure that there are some things in here we could consider prophecy. But they're basically Proverbs. They're things that God tells us. Principles. Studying the book of Proverbs is sometimes very difficult to do because it seems to me, as you read through the book of Proverbs, that there's a constantly jumping around from one subject to the other. And there's no seemingly continuing unity from one verse to the other. But as you study the book of Proverbs, you'll find that God gives us great wisdom for life. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. I would encourage you to read a chapter a day for a month and you've read the entire book. And you'd be surprised and amazed how much that God would teach you simply through those 31 days of reading this little book. When we come to Proverbs chapter 30, there's a group of verses here, about four verses I believe it is, that kind of intrigues me, been intriguing me for a long time. I've never heard anybody preach on these verses, and I've never preached on them before. I have no idea tonight if how well it's going to go. Sometimes things that I think are interesting are not interesting to other people. But I want to read these verses in your hearing. I want you to listen carefully to what the Lord says in His Word, and let the Holy Spirit speak to our heart this evening. Beginning in verse number 11, he says, "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are they, their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor off of the earth, and the needy from among men." Lord, we thank you tonight that we have this opportunity that we can come together and we can worship. We can tonight take your word and allow you to speak by your Spirit into our hearts. We ask you tonight to guide us and teach us and direct us. Lord, we pray tonight that we'll gain wisdom tonight from your word. That, Lord, we'll learn more about you. And in that revelation, we'll love you more. Tonight we ask you to simply take our words, use us as thy chosen vessel, lift up and edify and glorify thy Son, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen. God describes for us in these four verses tonight the heart and attitude of four individual generations. And I believe these generations seemingly follow one after another. As I study the Bible and as I read the Bible and as I look today at events around us, it seems that down through the ages, God has simply been able to write our history in advance. And as you read about these generations tonight, and as you get to these generations, you will find that they follow one after another tonight, and as they follow one after another, I think you can see what's taking place in our world tonight and how that things are rapidly deteriorating. As he begins to talk about the character of each one of these generations this evening, I want you to carefully understand what he's saying. I read back in the 1800s, there was a man by the name of Joseph Rotherham, and he captured, I think, the essence of these verses with his translation when he wrote these words: "A generation its father revileth, and its mother it doth not bless. A generation pure in its own eyes, yet from its filth it has not been bathed. A generation how lofty are its eyes, and its eyelids uplifted. A generation swords are its teeth, and knives are its incessors." to divide the humble out of the earth and the needy from among men. I believe here God is describing those four successive generations, and each generation has a characteristic of its own. As we look back this evening in the time in which you and I have lived, I believe we'll see that each one of these generations tonight has come and run its about in the last cycle this evening. You see, the Bible says and talks about the first generation, and it says there is a generation tonight that curseth their fathers. A generation that curseth their fathers. Now, what does that really mean to us tonight? Well, I want you to listen to what the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy. And there in chapter 11, God writes these words, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk down the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children might be many in the land that the Lord swore to give to your forefathers, as many as the days that heaven are above the earth." Here he's talking about that the responsibility of the children to be taught God's word. And God is saying that tonight to continue as a righteous nation comes tonight when they would follow and obey his teaching from one generation to another. You see, God gives a promise tonight to many of us this evening. He gives a promise throughout the scripture tonight that to obey him tonight will be blessed. We don't obey him and we don't work for our salvation, but after we are his children tonight, he expects obedience from us. You see, the parents' responsibility was to introduce their children to the Lord this evening. But you see, Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11 begins a spiritual and a moral decline that will span through four generations. The decline begins here with a generation this evening that curses their righteous father and does not bless their righteous mother. Now, when he speaks here of a son cursing his father, he's not referring here to the father, the son, using profane and vile language at his father because he won't let him take the car out one evening. He's not talking here about him cursing at his father for some trivial thing in life. Now that would be bad enough, and that's a horrible thing to do, for the Bible teaches us to honor our mother and our father this evening. But here he's talking tonight about something far more serious than even that. He's talking here about tonight that a generation this evening that curses their father about the things and the moral right. You see, the word curse simply means to be light. It means trifling and vile, to bring contempt, to curse or despise. You see, the first generation curses their father who is to instruct them in the ways of the Lord. What he's saying tonight is there's a generation that's coming this evening that consider the things of God and the righteous things inherited from their father small, trivial, insignificant, and unimportant. Over in the Old Testament, you have the story of Esau. And Esau, of course, being the firstborn, had the birthright. And he had the blessing of the father, but he considered a bowl of stew, a bowl of soup, more important than he did his birthright. The Bible says in Genesis 25 and 34 that Esau despised his birthright. Esau cursed his birthright. He didn't swear profanity at Isaac. Instead, he traded what the father had to give him for a bowl of soup. He was heir to the entire state of Abraham. You see, we're talking about an entire generation that considered the teachings of God, that considered the teachings of the Lord as insignificant and small and trivial and unimportant tonight. A generation tonight that decided that God's word and God's worship and God's salvation was not worth anything. They would rather trade it for a lifetime of pleasure, or the pleasures of sin for a season. They consider all the things that their fathers taught them to be small and trivial, insignificant. We see this trend tonight as it began back in our lifetime. And the same generation, the Bible says, does not bless their mother. The word bless means, it means to kneel, to honor. It means tonight that you don't care about the teachings of your mother this evening. A generation that does not attribute good quality to the teachings of their mother. A generation who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers is a generation this evening of people who do not consider their righteous heritage worthy of recognition and adherence. It means tonight that they reject the scripture. It means they reject the teachings of God. How sad that is. The Bible says that's a generation, and when that generation begins, we're in trouble. Because one generation is going to succeed and be successive to another. And this generation that we're reading about here this evening began many years ago, when people began to reject the truth of the Word of God. They began to reject the teachings of their father. They began to reject the blessings and the teachings of their mother. And the family unit was no longer cohesive, and the children became rebels instead of becoming obedient to their parents. We look around today and we see many of the things that are taking place can be traced back to those days when teenagers and when a generation began to reject the teachings of their father. They began to do that which was unrighteous and that which was wrong, and they didn't consider anything about it. They began to do those things which their mother had taught them and to do wrong, but they didn't do anything about it. They seemed not to care. We look back in the 1960s and we see as it began to move into this nation, a generation tonight that began to rebel against society. I'm here to tell you that not everything that went on with our government in the 1960s was righteous. I'm not telling you that. But I want to tell you tonight it hatched a rebellion against parents this evening, and a rebellion against the Word of God and against Scripture. It hatched a rebellion against things that tonight were immoral this evening, and it brought us into the world of illicit drugs and immorality. And we look back and we see all of those things that were beginning to take place in those days, and we see that generation as it began to do that, and we're bearing the fruits of it at this moment of time. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. But that's followed by the second generation. And there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Here's a generation of people that follows that generation, and what kind of generation is that tonight? It's a generation of people tonight who are pure in their own eyes. You see, we went from God's standard of right and wrong, of God's standard of morality. Now we become to say, well, it's okay. Everything is okay. That's a gray area, and if it feels good, do it. And we have been down the primrose path tonight that, hey, I'm pure in my own eyes. I've got a clear conscience. No, you have a hardened conscience this evening. You see, tonight, they do not believe it. I talked to you about this morning about what really sin is tonight. They want to form their own rules and establish their own value systems of right and wrong. They're pure in their own eyes. You ever know a generation like that? Yes, we face that. They're pure in their own eyes. Yet they're not washed from their filthiness. It's a strange generation tonight when you read about it. They seemingly are clean, but the problem is they're comparing themselves to somebody besides God. They're comparing themselves to somebody besides the Lord God of glory. You see, you can be pure in your own eyes. To be fair with you, I can be pure in my own eyes. And not be washed from your filthiness. That's a generation that we see tonight. You see, it's a generation tonight that begin to become educated. Well, nothing against education. I'm not here once again condemning education. I think we all ought to have at least the fifth grade. Amen? No, I think we need all the education we get. We need all the knowledge that we can acquire. I'm not against that. But we begin to educate children, and our educational system begin to teach them, hey, you evolved from a monkey. You came from nothing. You were blown out of a Big Bang theory. And we begin to teach children this, so it doesn't matter what you do, you're not accountable to God because there is no God. And so they become pure in their own eyes. I don't steal my neighbor's lawnmower, and I don't do this, and I don't do that, so I'm a good person. The only problem with that is you're not a good person, for there's none good, no, not one. But then there's another generation. There is a generation how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. Well, this is a haughty generation tonight, disdainful generation. They're filled with pride and arrogance, describing tonight the attitude of the heart. This is a generation that's been raised by the generation of the 60s, the generation that we started in the beginning with in verse number 11. This generation, when they come out, they become very prideful and they become arrogant. And describe for us tonight where we're at today. When it says that, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. Prideful and arrogant. Well, we see a lot of that, don't we? Then there's a fourth generation. And the fourth generation, whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. This is the me generation. It describes cold-hearted individuals tonight, and it describes people tonight who the only thing they think about is themselves. You see, teeth are instruments for eating, and eating is symbolic of meeting the individual's needs. To have teeth as swords mean that these people use their weapons as their basic means of attaining whatever they want in life. They're the me generation. I want it, and I want it right now. I'm going to have it one way or the other. If I have to take a gun and rob, if I have to kill you to get it, it doesn't matter tonight. Any way I can get it, any way I can, I'm going to take it. They care about nobody. They're cold-blooded and cold-hearted. There's a generation tonight that cares nothing for family. Cares nothing about love and knows really very little about love because they don't love. You look around our world today and everybody's greedy and we're going to get it. We may not use a knife, we'll use a pen and steal your pension fund. We'll figure out some way to get it and do what we want to with it. We'll devour the needy. We'll take care and get rid of the old people. They're not any use to us anymore anyway. They can't work. They don't pay any taxes. They're just draining our society. So let's take them out here and line them up and shoot them. Oh, preacher, they wouldn't nobody do that. Well, it's the same thing. I mean, some of the stuff they're proposing. I mean, read Obamacare. You know. Hey, you're 80 years old. You got heart trouble. We can't afford to treat you. Go home and die. Might well just shoot them. I mean, it's the same difference, isn't it? Now you think about what I'm saying. We're living in that kind of generation. And people don't seem to care. But just so I can get what I want. Just so I can get me, just so I can fill my belly, just so I can grab all I can. That's the generation tonight, and we're in that generation, I believe. We're in the Laodicean church age. We're in the time preceding the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It won't be long till Jesus comes. I'm telling you that, folks. I don't believe this world can stand much longer. And these generations tonight, as we I've looked at them here in the book of Proverbs. You can read about them in Psalms 14 if you want to. And when you get to Psalms 14, you can simply begin reading in verse 1, and you'll never see these generations as it goes down on through about verse number 4. Somebody says, how long is a generation? That's a good question. That's a real good question. We consider a generation to be 40 years. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but it's very close. As you look back on the past several years, and I would say tonight that I think we're getting closer, and we're seeing all these things as they begin to come together. We see the churches tonight beginning to reject God's word. We see this evening the word of God being rejected around the globe. We see people tonight who care and minimize anything that God says and doesn't consider God valuable at all. God has no value to most people this evening. Absolutely none. The only time anybody wants God anymore is when they have a funeral. Somebody said, that's harsh. I'm telling you the truth, folks. Listen to me. Most people see no value in God. We don't have any value in the Lord. We don't want to attend His house of worship. We don't want to serve Him and obey Him. We don't want to follow His truth and His teachings. But all when we die, we want to go to heaven. We want God then. That's the only value we see in Him. Listen to me. We're living in that generation that does not value the Lord, has no concept tonight of the really truth of Scripture. And it won't be long till Jesus comes. My fault as I read these verses this evening and as I look around our world and as I see the history of our nation this evening and as I consider the things that are happening in our society, it's a terrifying thought. Because I see the day coming, if the Lord doesn't come, when this last generation is going to come upon this earth. And that's going to be a very dangerous time. More dangerous than you and I can even imagine. The main thing I can tell you this evening, above everything else, is as the song we sing, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Amen.
And He'll save us from this untoward generation, as Peter said. He'll save us from the generation that doesn't know God and place us tonight in a generation of the children of God. Jesus saves. That's the main thing I want to leave with you this evening. All right. You'll stand together with me. You, Heavenly Father, thank You for this time. Take this very simple message and use it for the honor and glory of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. In Jesus' name.